Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. As usual, you know I'm excited that each and every one of you can join me right here tonight. Those of you that are on the Twitch board, even those of you that are in the chat room, welcome, welcome, welcome. Just want to quickly go over the announcements and then get right into this word on tonight. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. Just in the way of announcements, want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. every Thursday. Amen. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That's also our website, people of God. Take some time and look through our website. Visit us. We do have a contact page as well. Leave the name. Just kind of drop us a line and let us know how you're doing, what God is doing in your life. If you need someone to touch and agree with you, or if you just have a praise report that you want to give, you can do that right there on our contact page. And also, if you would like Apostle and myself, amen, to come and minister at your church, that's the place to go on the contact page. Leave the details, name of your church, and who the contact person is, and someone will definitely reach you in 12 to 24 hours. Also, on our website page, we have sons and daughters, amen, that are in ministry, that are doing a mighty work for the Lord. Not only do they need your prayers, people of God, but they also need your financial support. Please look to the Lord. Pray about it. Become a financial partner with this ministry. Amen. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Each and every one of our sons and daughters have Facebook pages as well. Visit them on their Facebook page. There you can learn more about what they're doing, what God has given them. It will even let you know where you need to place or put your financial support at, where the need is needed the most. Amen. And that is the way. Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick before I forget, we have a Facebook page. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. For those of you who have already liked us and have left comments, thank you so much. Thank you for your support. Amen. Apostle and myself, we love you. We continue to pray for you and lift you up. And we also have a Facebook page for Women of Prophetic Destiny as well. Amen. And there for the women of God that have been uplifting and supporting and even been listening to the broadcast, thank you so much. Amen. I pray that this word is bringing life to you, bringing changes to you, that it is just ministering to you, and God is using it as he sees fit to bring himself glory. Amen. Amen. And those are the announcements, people of God. Let us go into prayer and then right into the Word of God, and we will go forth as the Holy Spirit leads. Amen. Amen. Come on, let us pray. Precious Lord, as we come before you this evening, we just thank you, magnify you, glorify you. You are the worthy one to be praised and worshiped. God, I thank you for the many blessings, for the favor. Ooh, for the favor, God, that you have bestowed upon our lives. I thank you, God, that you're bringing us into a new place, God. I thank you for the words of encouragement, God. I thank you for the constant reminder, amen, of your faithfulness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Even now, I thank you for your people, God, that you have attached to this ministry. God, I pray, amen, in Jesus' name, that you, that as the word goes forth, God, that it will bring change, that it will challenge, that it will set free, deliver, that it will bring comfort, God, that it will bring understanding, that it will bring healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever the people of God need on tonight, Father, I'm asking that you would make a way to meet those needs in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you and praise you now, even now. Breathe on this word, Holy Spirit. Bring forth the revelation and the knowledge that you need to come forth tonight in the name of Jesus. I give your name all praise. I decrease that you may increase. I give your name all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen again. Amen again. Hallelujah. Well, people of God, I'm excited that you have joined me on tonight. Some of the messages that I've been going through, and I've just kind of been talking to the Lord and just kind of asking him, you know, the vein that we have been in, and I say we, Apostle, has been in about identifying or knowing our identity in Christ. Amen. And that's been a powerful message that he has been teaching, and I would like you to go into the archives to get those messages so that you too can fully come into the knowledge and the understanding of your identity in Christ Jesus. But also on tonight, just to add to what he's already doing and teaching, amen, the Lord is challenging us tonight also that I call it challenged to change. I'm going to say that one more time, challenged to change. For many of you out there, people of God, you've been going through some situations, circumstances. You have been going through challenges and being processed, amen. And for many of us, we kind of assume, amen, that when we're being challenged, that that challenge is always a short-term challenge. But for some of us out there, you have been going through those quote-unquote challenges for quite some time. And the question I have for you tonight is, in the midst of those challenges, have you changed more into his likeness? Have you changed more into Christ's character? Or are you still the same person you were when you first walked down that aisle? Has anything that God has taken you to and through, has it caused your heart to return towards him? Has it caused your mind to be shifted towards the things of kingdom? Have you even have a desire to seek after kingdom things? Have you been looking towards him to fulfill everything within you and realizing that you're nothing without him? I know we say it. Many of us have stood up before the church and we have testified these words, but in reality, what we testify is not always what we are living and always what we are manifesting. And tonight the Holy Ghost was saying to me, we must change. You have to be changed. I'm challenging you to change. And for many of us, we continuously go through the process, but instead of allowing, humbling ourselves, amen, and allowing God to take us through the process so that on the other side, we will be glorified in him and bring glory to him. We're fighting it every step of the way. We have our nails on the ground, and we're some being dragged along the ground because we refuse, amen, to be changed in his likeness. Now, the Bible says that we were made in his image and his likeness, and that is true. But when sin befell, when sin came in, then we are made in his image, but we had another, we carried another character, amen, that was not of God. So when Christ came to the earth and died on the cross to reconcile us back to the Father, now we must learn how to become more like him. There's a song that says, I want to be more like him. Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you can use. I want to be more like you. And we sing the song, but in our hearts we have no intention on being like him. Why? Because we really, some of us like who we are. We like the rough edges.
Mm-hmm.
We like the fact that for some of us that people fear us. We like the fact that we have that sharp tongue. We like the fact that, you know, can nobody handle us? We like the fact that I come from this stock of family and this is who I am, and you just got to understand, and the Lord's working on me. But if you've been saved, man of God, woman of God, for a number of years, that conversation should no longer be a part of your vocabulary. It is really time to say that I want to be like him, and not only like him, but we start seeing the fruits of him in your life. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 4, and I'm reading out of the King James Version on tonight, and, excuse me, we're talking about, the Bible is talking about tonight how Christ must be the theme. Christ must be the theme of our ministry. I'm going to say that one again because somebody really, really, truly needs to hear this up close and personal. Christ, Jesus Christ himself, needs to be the theme of your ministry. Well, Prophetess Christ is. He's in there. He's part of the ministry, right? But is the ministry fully focused on him and uplifting him and glorify him? Is the ministry focused on building disciples and calling and challenging people to grow up in God and become not only in, as we say, his character, and we're seeing the fruits of him in the lives of the people, but we're also seeing people fulfill the ministries that God has placed up on their lives? Or have we just boiled Christianity or boiled Christ down to concerts and cliches and shout music, you know, for those of us who go to urban churches, or worship and rock music and all the lights and the bells and the whistle, and we say we've had a good time, but we don't see the change in the lives of the people? And here we have in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:1, the Bible says this: therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's about half of the thought right there. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, Somebody needs to hear that, because the whole, your whole ministry has been about you and yours and me and mine and what I did, and look at me and how great I am. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. And here we have Paul talking to the church of Corinth, and we must understand the same thing, people of God, is that, and you've heard me say it, you've heard apostles say it, and those that are in the vein of the Holy Ghost say it, that this ministry that we carry has not been given to us to make us shine, but it has been loaned to us so that Christ may shine, that we may be his spokesperson in the earth, giving him all glory, telling others about his wonderfulness, his kindness, his magnificentness, and telling others and compelling them to come into the fold, amen, of this life that we call Christianity. But what has happened over the years is that we have many, not everybody, but many have taken this word of God, this pure, precious word, the simplistic gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have twisted it, and we have chopped it up, and we have taken parts out of it so that we may live our life according to the way we feel. And we have people following us because they believe, amen, and we've convinced them that we are the righteousness of God, and they're following us when in reality we are not truly following the full gospel ourselves. There's a young lady, amen, give this quick testimony, at my job who was trying her best to minister to me a false gospel, amen. And I sat back. At first I looked at her like, okay, let me hear where you're coming from. Let me hear where you're coming from. And as she began to minister, they took the simple word of God out of the King James Version, took the simple word of God, in the beginning was God, something that simple, and had taken the word and twisted the word by adding their own interpretation of what they felt the word of God was truly saying. And even though they believed, and I told her, I said, listen, I'm a pastor and have been living this life for quite some time. And I said, this Bible is right. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. This is what it says. Now, even as I was speaking this to her, I was never nasty. I was never rude or cruel. But I still was able to go and show her this is what the Word of God says. And the Bible also says that we're not to add nor take anything out. And her belief was that, yes, this Bible is true. We too believe in the Father. We too believe in the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we also believe this and thus and so. And their belief, people of God, was that God had a female side to him. So they worship, listen to this now, they worship God the Father and God the Mother. And with her full heart and everything in her being, she believed that. And I said, show me in this Bible where it says God the Father, God the Mother. Well, now the minute that people start talking about the well, you know, they don't have anything to back this up, because everything she tried to give me was what was written at the headquarters building. The headquarters said this, so we're going by what the headquarters said. I said, what has the truth, the Spirit of God revealed to you? Now we have a problem because people cannot, when we start looking at the Spirit of God, then people start doing the tap dance, because now you have to say that there's another facet, amen, to this. So we can't just shove Jesus Christ over in the corner somewhere, shove the Holy Spirit over the corner somewhere, and not believe in the deity. He does exist. He does exist. And I say all that to say this, is that we who know the truth, we who God has revealed himself to, we who the Holy Spirit has spoken to, we of all people must carry this gospel with the most integrity. We must be able to carry this gospel with the full intent of being able to rightly divide this word of truth. We can't be over here slipping and tipping, talking about, well, I think it says this and it might say this, but I believe, I feel. It's not about what we believe and what we feel. It's about what this word says. And even here, we have to understand that everything in this Bible points back to Jesus Christ and us living with him and the Father in heaven. As ministers of the gospel, men and women, leaders of the gospel, we must always keep in our forefront, in our view, that Christ has to be the focal point of our ministry. He has to be the focal point of why we preach the gospel or teach the gospel. Even as we're running ministry, successful ministry, or whatever God has put in your hand to do, Christ must be at the center of it all. Other than that, it's nothing but smoke and mirrors and a bunch of flesh. He says here, out of the New Living Translation, he says, since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we must never give up. In other words, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. Amen. We're all going through tests and trials. We are all going through issues and circumstances. It's called life. Amen. It's just called life. But nevertheless, it doesn't give us the right, amen, to lay down our call at any time. It does not give us the right to lay down our, as we say, I'm just going to put Christ on the back burner or put him on the shelf for a minute, but I'm going to tell you how I really feel. It does not give us the right. We can never give up. We can never get to a place where we even feel comfortable enough to lay our quote-unquote Christianity down and pick up. This is the real me. They need to see this. No, no, that's not bringing anybody into the gospel, into truth. It doesn't bring anybody into even wanting Christianity. We have too many people now that are appalled at the church because of all the flesh on parade that they see, all the lies, all the erroneous doctrine, all the infighting, trying to outshine and outdo and be greater than, and I got to be number one. Well, have you ever thought about maybe God didn't call you to be number one, but be number two? But in that place of being number two, you are the most effective. You're doing everything that number one is even doing, but you can't see it because you don't have the camera shining on you. And even if he doesn't make you number one, I'd rather be in a place to have God smile up on me and say, welcome in thy good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of God, and no one ever knew my name, but I was effective in what he has called me to do. And for some of us, we've missed the mark because we won't find out what he wants us to do because we're chasing after the golden carrot. We're chasing after the Holy Grail when he never called you to the Holy Grail. Or God has showed you what he wanted you to do, but it wasn't fantastic enough. Nobody was lifting your name, lifting you up. It was a thankless job. It was someone, you know, who wouldn't even recognize you. And because you wanted the fame, you decided to run after the carrot. And we have a lot of people that are missing out on what the full fulfillment and contentment of Christ, because we're running after things, we're running after people, we're running after smoke and mirrors as I call it, or we're running after false gods and images. We can never give up. He says we reject all shameful and underhanded methods. If you're a Christian, if you're one that's walking in, who's accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you too must find yourself in this, that we all need to reject all things that are shameful, or renounce all things that are hidden, things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness. I find it very interesting, people of God, because we're easy as a people to make sure that the outside looks immaculate and impeccable. And it's easy to do that because no one actually can see what's going on in your heart. So it makes no difference. So we have a lot of people wearing masks, and I know many people that preach this message over and over and over again, but it's true anyhow. We have a lot of people living a double standard life, and I'm not just talking about a person that is just walking, that may be walking in a perverse lifestyle. You don't have to be a homosexual or a lesbian to be living a double standard life. Just the fact that you just refuse to say yes to God and his will for your life, you already live in a double standard life. It's called disobedience. Guess what? Disobedience is a sin. So don't think just because you're still looking good and you know how to shout and you know how to wave your hand in the air and you know how to chime in when the leader is preaching or teaching. You know all the parts. You know everything. You in and out. You half sleep and you can still come in on cue. However, those that have a connection with God, if he decides to pull back the cover, discernment kicks in. He reveals. And you know God already has revealed your heart. You yourself already know what type of lifestyle you're living. Therefore, that's why it says in here that we have to renounce the hidden things, the things that people can't see, the envy, the jealousy, the rebellion, the disobedience, the lack of faith, the excuses masked under fear. The dishonesty, the mistrust, the super sensitive spirit. Can't nobody say anything to you. And every time somebody says something, you talking about, oh, they hurt me. They hurt me. They hurt me. The hidden things. He says here, we do not try to trick anyone. If any of you listen to our messages, Kingdom Lifestyle messages, my husband or the Holy Spirit took my husband through a series of teachings talking about the false prosperity messages that many people, many pastors and teachers and preachers of today and yesteryear have been preaching for so long, using tricks to get people to give their money and using vain words, amen, to get people to give out of their need. Because if you give out of your need and you give into the man of God, God will bless you. I'm not talking about the regular just tithes and offerings that we're mandated to give to make sure that the house of God runs, keep the lights on, and keep everything looking new and good. No one wants to go to a church that's broke down. But I'm talking about when we're going beyond the call of duty. I'm talking about where we're giving, where our lights is off, but then when we have a need and you go, can't nobody help you? I'm talking about while you're sitting there looking for that cash to come in, the $500 line, the $200 line. The greater the money, the greater the blessing. All those lies, all that mess that people have been doing and still continue to do for quite some time. That is known as a form of trickery. We do not, we as Christians, we as leaders, you don't trick anyone to give. You don't trick anyone into a blessing. You don't trick anyone into a curse. You don't prophesy to people so they that you can speak over their life and get out of them what you want. That's mess. That's foolishness and garbage. He says we do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We don't change the word to fit our mood and our needs. We don't change the word to preach over people because we want something from them or we're upset at something that they've done. So we try to twist the word of God and have people believe, for example, that if they decide to leave the church, that they're in rebellion, amen, and that they're on their way to hell because they left the church house, because they left your ministry. And then people walking around in fear and condemnation, and even though God may be leading them to a new place so that they can get the next level of training that they need, because fear, amen, man fear has been placed in them, and condemnation has been placed in them, and all that witchcraft and mess that's going on, people will stay put in a place and die because someone took the word and distorted it and changed the meaning of it. And put those weeds, I didn't say seeds, those weeds inside of people's lives. And people are fighting and will sit in a place and die instead of going forth and completing the assignment that God has upon their life. He says here, we tell the truth before God and all who are honest to know that. If the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. In other words, if you're preaching the gospel and they still can't hear, they still can't see, he said, know this, it's a possible sign that they are perishing. In the King James Version, it says this, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, this is interesting, people of God, because those that are not saved, I expect this. But what's interesting more now than ever is that we have people right in the house of God, in the church, in Christianity, let me put it this way, that are just as blind, amen, to the gospel as those that are out in the world. Yes, I said it, and yes, I meant it. We have more people that know just enough of the word to get you off of them, but not enough of the word to deliver themselves. Not enough of the word to change their ways. Not enough of the word to become compliant to his will in their lives. Not enough of the word to love, to let the fruits of the Spirit begin to manifest in their life. Not enough of the word, amen, to get in God's face and pray and seek after him and seek to learn more about him. Not enough of the word to kick the devil, or I should say to take authority over the devil. Not enough of the word. And we know this because every challenge that comes against you, every slight wind that blows in your life, it throws you all off kilter. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, here's the interesting thing. What's worse, people of God, knowing the word and being lost, or never hearing the word and being lost? In my personal opinion, it would be knowing the word and still be lost. Why? Because I refuse to change. Why? Because I refuse to allow God's processes to not only challenge me, but change me. See, here it is. People don't like to be challenged. People don't want to deal. Let me just live a comfortable life. Let me remain as complacent and mediocre and lackluster. Just let me be. Let me be. That's all I want to do. Just let me be. When I feel like coming, I will. When I don't, I don't. Just let me be. I don't want to do nothing. Don't ask me no more. And if I do have to do something, I'm just going to do just enough and then leave me alone. But yet we want all that God. And let me tell you something. Ooh. And yet when we pray, when something hits us and we pray, we want God to literally step out of heaven and come down where we are to meet our needs. But we can't be faithful to him for 5 minutes. Moving on. If the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now we get down to the root of it. He blinds the minds of those who don't believe. Now, we've taught the scripture, we preach the scripture, and yes, for those that are truly unsaved, who are in the world, then yes, Satan of the world, the god of this world, has blinded their minds. But I often wonder, people of God, how many minds he has blinded in the house of God or in the kingdom of God, because we refuse to believe God. We refuse to take him at his word. We refuse to believe his promises. We refuse to fight the good fight of faith. We refuse to stand for righteousness and truth. We refuse to change. We just refuse to change. And after a while, as you continue doing this, after a while, you too become blind. You too become blind. Well, I don't know what you mean. I'm not blind. I know this word inside and out. You may know this word inside and out, but we're not seeing the manifestation of his word in your life. And it's more so, amen, than you just laying hands on people. It's more so than you speaking in tongues for hours. It's more than just you prophesying all over people. It's more than you preaching and teaching. It's more than that. It's about living a righteous, holy lifestyle. It's about my mind is being renewed daily. My thoughts are no longer my own, but they're after speaking after him. The passage of scripture that stays on my heart and in my heart is that my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. That was Christ speaking to the disciples. That is our whole purpose. If we're in him and he's in us, if we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, then that too needs to be our battle cry. And those of us who have gone through the process, and those of us who have surrendered to him, that is our battle cry. You can't talk to those who have gone through with God and God has brought them out on the other side. They're not there to sit there and not tell you who Jesus is to them. You can't be in a conversation with someone 5 minutes and not know about Jesus and not know that they're even saved and not know that they have a call on their life. And at the same time, while they're trying to minister to you, most of us don't want anybody to even know we're saved, let alone go to the church up the street. Moving on. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ. who is the exact likeness of God. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. Let me stop right there. I'm about to park it right here. I don't know about you, people of God, but I've heard more messages about the 3 steps, the 5 steps, the 10 steps, the 12 steps. I've heard more messages of how I can be greater than great, better than better, gooder than good. I've had more messages that have been preached, heard more messages that have been preached, talking about that you can change in an instant, in 30 days. If you think it and speak it, it shall be. Turn around 3 times, it shall be. Pray these prayers over your life for 30 days, 40 days, and watch God move for you. Say this particular prayer over and over again. Speak it out in your home, around your children. Whatever you want God to do for you, you just do that, and you can change. What? Let me tell you this. The devil is a lie. There are some things, people of God, you are just going to have to go through. It's called being processed. It's called changing into, as my husband preached last week and continues to preach until God gives us something else, change into another man. Because let's be really honest. So some of us, we done said all of that. We done preached it. We done threw the hankies. We done cried. We done snotted. We done teared. We done rolled around on the floor. We done preached, excuse me, we done spoke that word over our house 30, 40 days, a whole year, and nothing has broken. Nothing has moved. Nothing has shifted. So at this point of my life, if it's not in the word of God, I'm not doing it. Things have become gimmicks. For some, it may have worked. If God has given that to you to do and it has worked, praise ye the Lord. But we can never take the glory. We've taken the glory. We've taken Christ out of it. We've taken the part of praying. We've taken the part of listening to God. We've taken out the part of trusting in him, following after him wholeheartedly, and we've turned it into a 3-step, 4-step, 10-step, and taking Christ out of it, period, and just rely on your own strength and rely on your own faith, and you too can have all that you ever thought and dreamed of. And we have some delusional, angry, bitter, upset people of God because they trusted in how can I say this? They trusted in the trickery of men. They trusted in trickery messages, gave all their money, believing wholeheartedly that this is what I need, when all they probably had to do was just get on their face before the Lord, let him speak to them, trust and believe in him, let him take you through it, and when you come out on the other side, you come out with more power, you come out with more strength, you come out with more authority, and no one had to lay hands on you, and nobody had to prophesy over you. Now, I'm not knocking, and I'm not going against people who do that, because the Lord uses people like that, and I understand that wholeheartedly. He uses us like that. But when your whole purpose for existence is trying to get somebody else to do the work for you, I just need somebody to pray. I get in somebody's line and just have them pray for me. Everything will be all right. But there's a point where you have to begin to take up your bed and walk. Take up your cross and walk it out. And you're not going to get the victory, or you're not going to come into the fullness and understanding of who Christ is if I'm constantly preaching about me and mine and ours and us's and them and they, never about him. And this type of preaching isn't popular because we're not trying to tickle. If you know anything about this ministry and if you've been following Christ the King for quite some time, you know we're not about the frill. We're not about all of this light camera action. It's about the word of God because our goal is to put the word in you and strengthen you and watch you grow so that you can fulfill the calling that God has on your life And as you fulfill your call, you're pouring into somebody else so that they too can fulfill the call that God has on their life. Because when it's all said and done at the end of the day, people of God, nobody's going to have time for the thrill. It's going to be about the people that know their God shall do great exploits. And this is where we're coming to. And let me say this, people of God. This time that we're in, more than ever, you better get some Holy Ghost discernment here. We need to discern more now than ever the spirit of truth versus the spirit of a lie. We need to more now than ever know the voice of the Most High God. More now than ever. That means we can't be going to the Facebook and trying to get words of wisdom off of the Facebook. Well, that sounded good. That must be God. The interesting thing about Facebook is that these people are coming from whatever direction. You don't even know if they even have a church, if they're submitted to anybody. You don't even know. You don't know where these people come from. But we'll sit here and follow people. All these folks who slap titles on their name. Nobody never heard of you. But we'll sit here and follow people without recognizing the spirit that they're operating out of. Because we've lost our discernment. And you lose your discernment when you don't stay in the face of Christ. You got to stay in his face. Pray, seek after him. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he will reveal to you things that are true. Says here, verse 5, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. All we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us. That little passage of scripture right there would make folks mad because we are. Christ is, and my husband says it all the time, Christ is the shepherd and we are the under-shepherd. If you're a leader, you are a under-shepherd of Christ Jesus. And you have to understand and get it in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit that the people that God has loaned you to pastor are still his people. And he will judge you accordingly of how you treat his people. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And you have to understand and get a revelation that you are a servant of the Most High God. He didn't elevate you so that you can be served. Somebody got to carry your water. Somebody got to carry your Bible. Somebody got to carry your phone. Somebody got to carry your briefcase. Somebody got to carry your wife's stuff. Somebody got to carry your kids' stuff. Huh? Now, there's nothing wrong with servants or those that are assigned, or we call them adjunctants or handmaidens, and we're not talking about that. I'm talking about where, and because those that know it, how to do it properly, while those people are with you, you're pouring into them so that they too can become all who God has called them to be. But if you have people there where they're basically, they done became your slaves. They don't have no life of their own because you got them at your beck and call every 5 minutes. They can't minister to their family because they're too busy trying to minister to yours. The devil is a liar. That's not the purpose of them being there with you. Your purpose is, if God has placed them at your feet, is to pour into them what Christ has given you so that they can become who God has called them to be. They can become that better husband, or that better wife, that better mother, that better father, that more godly praying man, praying woman, that more godly evangelist or pastor or teacher or prophet or prophetess or apostle. It's not about them picking up your children and paying your bills. You see where I'm going? Because we have a lot of foolishness that has gone on. And I have seen for myself over the years where people have taken advantage, amen, of the saints to the point where they don't have a life of their own because their life has become the life of that leader. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Every message, men and women of God, that you preach, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's on your job and just living the life before people, your lifestyle, always remember, we must preach Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to hear about God somewhere. Even at your job, if you might have a job where they don't want you talking about Christianity, so, but there's a way that you can still put his name in the atmosphere. In a minute, I'll say, I prayed to the Lord about this situation. In a minute, I'll say, God is good. And those other saints who are doing their best to live the lifestyle will say the same thing. Lord, I thank you. What do you mean by that? And little bit by little bit, you'll see conversations that you can have with people. The Lord will make sure that he opens up a door for you, and you don't have to worry about being fired. If you ever thought about it, why are you there in the first place? You're not there so you can just get your check and run. You're there because you're on assignment. And you have to find out what that assignment is. And you're there to, well, I'm not trying to preach Jesus to nobody. I'm not trying to shove it down nobody's throat. Yeah, I used to believe that lie too, but all it was just an excuse, amen, to not minister the gospel at no time. And no one says you have to get up there with a microphone or a bullhorn and start screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But my life, amen, what I talk about, the wisdom that he allows me to give to people when they ask, I make sure that his name is in that conversation. Don't preach about yourself. Preach Christ Jesus, the Lord of all. And we say about ourselves, all we say, excuse me, about ourselves is that we are your servant. I'm his servant. I'm no greater than the next person. I'm his servant because of what Jesus has done for me. And he's done a lot for me, y'all. And we all say that if you knew my testimony, but for those who really knew me before Christ came in my life, if you knew the testimony. Verse 6, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. This light, who's the light of the world? Jesus Christ, the Word, is the brightness of the glory. Christ himself, the glory of God. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he lives on the inside of you. And because he loves us so, this light, this power that's completely unfathomable, is held in perishable containers. Talking about us, y'all, held in this flesh. He lives in every one of us that have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior. He has made his abode in us. We are in him and he is in us. Hmm? So how in the world are you walking around mealy mouth? How in the world are you walking around weak and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. When is this going to shake? And I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. How dare you say that when you have the most high, the most powerful, highest authority known in this universe lives on the inside of you. And yet you're talking about how weak and how beat down you are and how ain't nothing going to ever happen in your life? He said, but this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak bodies, so everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and is not our own. The power, the reason why he's chosen you, challenging you to change. Why? It says it right here. If you heard nothing else I said tonight, so that everyone can see the glorious power from God is not your own. My God from Zion. God wants to do something through you, in you, around you, to change a nation. I don't know if you're excited about it, but I am. That's why he's been trying to challenge you for change. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you that you have been challenging us to change. I thank you, Lord, that we have to come into the full understanding and the revelation, God, that you need to be in our messages. Christ Jesus needs to be the forefront of our ministries, the forefront of our messages, the forefront of our prayer life, the forefront of everything that we put our hands to do, our feet where they travel, God. You have to be in the forefront. Oh, Father, God, we need you. We bless you. We glorify you, but we need you now. Help us, God, that we come into the knowledge of this word, the power of this word, that we walk away changed, going more towards your image in the mighty name of Jesus. Even those, God, that are not saved, I pray they pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. I confess my faults to you. Come into my heart and into my life. Make your abode. Live in me in the mighty name of Jesus. I will do your will. Have your way in me. Show me my purpose and what you have for me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. I pray, men and women of God, for those of you who have prayed that prayer, that you find a church home that is teaching and preaching and manifesting the glory of God and his power and his strength in their churches. Listen, go to my website, our website, www.ctkr.org. I would love to hear from you. Check me out on my Facebook page, Prophetic Atmosphere, Women of Prophetic Destiny. Tell someone about this ministry that you know that will benefit, amen, from this word. And also not only this word, but come on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for Kingdom Lifestyle to hear a powerful life-changing word from Apostle McQueen. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. This is Prophetic Atmosphere. And I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. Love each and every one of you. Have a blessed night.